for Parshas Mishpatim, this particular essay has a real strong flavor of Chassidus to it, of Kabbalah, of Zohar, concepts from the Arizal. So I warn you up front, if you want to leave now, you're okay. You know, but this is what it is. And I'm hoping that although we are not necessarily oriented in Kabbalah, but we'll get something out of this that'll be meaningful for our lives. There's a very strange comment of the Zohar at the very beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, and the Zohar builds himself on Targum Unkelus. It says, "V'ela Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lifnehem." These are the statutes that you should place in front of them. And the Unkelus translates it as "V'alin Dine Ditesader Kadmihon." These are the dinim that you should organize in front of them. Now, the word dinim has two meanings. It could mean the laws, right? A din, this is a law. Or it could mean judgment. And we're going to soon see that the Zohar understood from Unkelus that we're talking about judgment, which could mean punishment for a violation of the Torah. So that the Eilu Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lifneihem can be understood on a whole different level. It's not limited to laws that have to be presented, but somehow it touches on the very essence of a person in terms of his fulfillment of the will of God. And if he deviates from the will of God, there are dinim, there are judgments to be made. And that's what Rav Shimon bar Yochai says. That what does the Targum Unkelus have in mind when he says dinim? Right, these are the dinim that are organized in front of you. He says, dinim dinishmasin. These are the judgments of the neshamos. And nidon kol echad v'echad lekabel onsho. And every single neshama will be judged. And that's what these mishpatim are all about. And will receive its punishment. And the Zohar says that you might not see in the course of a person's lifetime that he will be punished, but after his death, he may be decreed, it may be decreed upon him, that he will have to come back to this world a second time around. That's what we call Gilgul Neshamos. And Gilgul Neshamos, I forget how you translate that into English. Does anybody remember?
Reincarnation.
Reincarnation, excellent. Reincarnation of the soul. And what's the purpose of reincarnation of the soul? That a person comes back, the same soul but in a different body, in order to try to save himself, meaning to try to perhaps do tshuva for whatever iniquities, whatever failures he was guilty of during his lifetime. And we're going to soon see that hopefully on the second round he'll do better than on the first round, and he'll actually live up to the standards and demands of the Torah. So then according to the Zohar, when we read the parsha Hevelu Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lifneihem, which obviously is a reference to a whole set of statutes and laws, on a deeper level, there's another remez here. You know, Torah could be understood on many different levels. On the level of remez, we're talking about the onesh of coming back as a different person in the reincarnation period of Gilgul Neshamas. Why? How do we find any logical connection between V'ela Mishpatim Shantasim Lifneihem, these are the laws, and the concept of punishment for which expresses itself in this case of Gilgul Nesham? I'm just going to close the door. And also keep in mind that there's a word here that appears in both the Targum Unkelus, and it's re-emphasized by Rav Shimon bar Yochai in the Zohar, called Seder. There's a Seder of Gilgulim, like some sort of organized system. What is this Seder all about? Now, at this point, if you know the style of Shvile Pinchas in the past, for those who've been, he has a question at the beginning of his essay, and then he puts it on the back burners, and he comes back to it after many, many different pieces of the puzzle. The next piece of the puzzle is about what's called Tamei HaMitzvos. Tamei HaMitzvos is a very heavy issue, dating back to the time of the Gemara. And there were some Tannaim who were opposed to the whole endeavor of trying to explain why God gave us a particular mitzvah. Other Tannaim took a compromise view, and they said it depends. If you're talking about a chok, which is not rational, we have no way of understanding it, then we don't necessarily endorse giving explanations. Those are speculations. But if on the other hand it's mishpatim, then we look for explanations. We want to understand the mechanics and what underlies the law, because mishpatim are rational laws. And the Mechilta here quotes Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, "V'eila hamishpatim shel tosim lifneim." Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe, this is in the bottom right column. Lo tal al datcha lomar. You might think, the thought might cross your mind, Ashanelehem aperek v'alocha shtei pa'amim, sholosh pa'amim. I'll go over it once, twice, three times, until they know it. But they really only memorized it. They know it by rote. But you might say, that's good enough. I taught them, they know it. Any matriach asks me, lavinam tamei adovar upirusha. I don't have to explain the underlying logic or the reasons for these mishpatim. Lekach nemar, therefore the Torah says, asher tosim lifnehem. What is this extra word, lifnehem? Lifnehem is kishulchan aruch, like a set table. Muchan lechol lifnei ha'adam. Everything is organized so that a person just sits down at the table and he eats. And that's the mitzvah of asher tosim lifneim, kishulchan aruch. This, by the way, is the basis for the name of Rav Yosef Karo's great halachic compendium, the Shulchan Aruch. But we want to understand that Rabbi Akiva is putting the emphasis here on mishpatim. That mishpatim, you have to explain the underlying reason and the logic of the mishpatim. It's not enough just to, you know, foist it upon the student and have him repeat it over and over again until he knows it by heart. That's not going to make it into a Shulchan Aruch. Meaning, to really control, to really possess the knowledge of the halacha in such a way that you can deal with new issues and define it well, you have to understand the underpinnings and the reasons behind the halachas. And that's what the Torah is commanding you, and it's got to be like a Shulchan Aruch. Because these are the mishpatim. Then the mishpatim are logical. With regard to chukim, ein lehem tam, we don't know the reason for it, so we can't expect that the Rebbe, when he transmits the Torah, as far as chukim is concerned, that he's going to explain the tam. But when it comes to mishpatim, Rashi says, in Parshas Kedoshim, in Vayikra, he says, es mishpatai tasu, Rashi says, elu dvar ma'amurim b'torah b'mishpat, she'ilu lo nemro v'ya kedai liomro. Even if we hadn't received these commands, these statutes, we would have come up with them on our own. And then v'eschu kosai tishmoru, that's dvar m'shem gzeres ha'melech. That's already a divine decree. And the Yetzer Hara tries to get the best of us and says, laughs at us. You know, why don't you want to wear shatnez? Why don't you want to eat chazer? Why are you using a paraduma to purify someone? All these statutes are chukim that are beyond human rational understanding. And Rashi definitely identifies mishpat as opposed to chukim as something that's logical, something that's rational. And therefore, when the Torah here says v'ela mishpatim shatosim lifneim, we understand Rabbi Akiva, who says that we are commanded to teach Israel not only the mitzvahs themselves in the case of mishpatim, but also tamei mitzvahs. And this seems to be also the Rambam's approach, which you'll see here quoted in the second paragraph in the middle column, at the end of that paragraph, paragraph that starts with the word vehine. The Rambam writes, Roila Adam Lisbonen b'mishpatei Torah Kedosha. The Rambam says it's very praiseworthy and very much recommended that a person should contemplate and explore the Mishpatei HaTorah, V'leida Sof Inyanam, to understand the depths and the meaning behind them, Kefi Kocha, to the best of his ability. But notice that the Rambam emphasizes Mishpatei HaTorah. The Rambam might very well be excluding Chukei HaTorah, because in the case of Chukei HaTorah, the Rambam would never advocate or recommend that we try to understand the Sof Inyanam, you know, what's at the root of it all. That's beyond human comprehension, but when it comes to Mishpatim, that's what we should do. But what we really want to focus our attention on is the phrase Shulchan Aruch. Why is it so important that Rabbi Akiva wants to compare our understanding of the Mishpatim to a Shulchan Aruch, a set table? If he wants to tell us that we should explore the Tamei HaMitzvahs, and he wants to say that when you put on your table are many different foods, and each one has a different taste, so too in each mitzvah there's a slightly different taste, a different tam, then he should have given the mashal of ma'acholim, of different foods. Prepare or teach them in a way that you would offer them different foods with different tastes. Why does he say the shulchan? The table seems to be secondary. What difference does it make whether these foods are in a basket or they're on a table? If you're trying to convey the message that each food has a different taste and therefore each mitzvah has its own unique time, he could have dropped the whole discussion about the Shulchan Aruch. Now, in order to understand the deeper, perhaps symbolic meaning of Shulchan Aruch, we quote the famous Gemara in Brachos that says that now that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, so we don't have the Mizbeach to bring atonement for our sins, what substitute do we have? And the answer is Shulchano Shel Adam Mechaper Olav. The Shulchan becomes the vehicle to bring about Kapara, to bring about atonement. It means we put food on the table, and once again, when we eat the food, if we eat it properly, we make a bracha, we don't overeat, we do it for the sake of strengthening our bodies so that we can serve God. If all those are met, all those requirements, that's going to be a great kapara. We might add that we had guests, you know, we invite guests to our table, all this. But once again, why the emphasis on shulchano shalom, not the table so much? It's the Achila Shel Adam, the Seuda Shel Adam. Now from this point on, we get into Kabbalistic ideas. There are two types of Shulchanos that people eat from. How many legs does your classic Shulchan have?
Four.
There is such a thing as a table that has only three legs. Now, the greatest disciple of the Arizal 500 years ago in Tzfat was Reb Chaim Vital. And he testifies that he once asked the Ari, is it coincidental that you eat on a table that has four legs? And he noticed, before he asked the question, that the Arizal would never eat on a table that had less than four legs. So the Arizal answered the following: that the table should be like the table, the shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash. And the shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash had four legs. So it seems that there's some significance to the number four, and this is a symbolic replication of the shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash. Now Rav Chaim Vital gives a whole presentation about the significance of the number four. And he says the following: man is made up of four elements. Are you familiar with this? Esh, Ruach, Mayim, and Afar. And these four elements correspond to the four letters of God's holy name, Havai Yud Kei Vav Kei. Had man not sinned, there would have been a perfect synthesis of these four elements in an ideal sort of way. And then Gufo V'Nafsho Shleimim, his body and his soul would be complete, would be perfect, with what he calls a tikkun of Arba Yisodos, of the perfect integration, as we said before, of these four elements. As a result, man would live eternally.
Because he said that before the sin, he was referred to as Ha'adam. After the sin, he was the Hay.
Right. So he says the following: as a result of the chet of Eitz Hadas, now there's something that wedges in between the four yesodos that make up man. They're no longer integrated into one whole. There's a mixture now of Tov and Ra. So there's evil. And that penetrates into the very essence of man, and it now creates what he calls Hafradat HaYisodot, separating the yesodot. They're no longer connected in a perfect blend. And therefore man loses, he forfeits his immortality. And here's what the Arizal says, as he's paraphrased by his student, the Reb Chaim Vital. Vida, ki achar cheta adam, we're on the bottom left column of page 1. After he ate from the Eitz Hadas Tov V'ra, chubru nafsho v'gufo im kol echad mitov V'ra. Both his soul and his body now become connected to this mixture of Tov V'ra. And that's what we call in the Kabbalistic writing Zuamas HaNochash. You know, the Nochash had some sort of a relationship with Chava, in which he injected some sort of a Zuamas, some sort of a polluting element. And that's the evil that goes now into the very structure, you know, the spiritual structure of the nefesh, of the soul of man. That's going to have even an impact on the body of man, because as a result of the fact that the soul is no longer perfectly aligned, the body is not going to be able to live forever. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, Ki b'yom acholcha mimenu mos tamus, that on the day that you will eat from the Eitz Hadas, you will die. It doesn't mean you will die on that day, but it means you will become mortal. From that time on, you will have Misa. And the Misa means the Nefesh and the Guf. Now, if this be the case, then man, insofar as man has an impact on the higher worlds, then even in the higher worlds, as a result of the sin of man, what is generated is a mixture of Tov and Ra. So that applies down here on earth in terms of the guf and the nefesh, and up in the olamos, so to speak. Halo chutzpah, man, his nefesh was created from arba yisodos ruchnim. These are four spiritual forces or elements. And from man and these four elements, through the name Havai Yudke Vavke, God created all the higher worlds. And Yechezkel HaNavi mentions the Arba Ruchos, the four directions from which these four Yesodos come. Now we can turn to the second side of the page. This is page 2. He says the following. The first Mishnah in Masechet Bava Kamma speaks about Arba Avos Nezikin. There are four main categories of damagers. It also speaks about Negoim in a different Mishnah, Negoim. And there are four categories, main categories of Negoim. These are forces of sources of contamination of Tumah. Why? Because if these four Yesodos that make up man and generate the universe up on high, once the Ra, the evil, penetrates into these Yesodos, then there are four now Yesodos of evil, sources of evil, of Negoim, of Mazikin in the world. And if these temptations to evil will control man, and man will will be subdued by, or he will be overwhelmed by these forces. That's going to be Nezik in the Goyim. It's going to be different kinds of physiological of cholium, of illness, until finally it'll bring about death. Now let's think and analyze these four yesodos, because the Arizal claims that these four yesodos correspond to four midos. Midos meaning great qualities or spiritual qualities. And each one of the four midos or four elements, what we called the yesodos, have the opposite in ra, in evil. So we'll start with Esh. The element of Esh, if it's used properly, has a tremendous spiritual energy, but if it's used improperly, it creates what's called gaiva, or gasus haruach, which includes not only conceit, but also anger. Then we get to ruach. Ruach is the power of speech, which can be used tremendously. But if it's misused, it can be used for sicha b'teila and all sorts of terrible things. Then we get to mayim. Water represents the energy force, but if it's misused, it could bring a person to taiva, to hedonistic pleasure. And finally, we get to ofar. Ofar, the dirt on the ground, the earth, that could bring what's called atzlus. Atzlus meaning laziness. Now, if we use each of these four yesodas for the good, then we can take, for example, in the case of ofar, we could have anova, humility. In the case of ruach, we can have shtika. And shtika means that instead of saying things that we shouldn't say, we use it for Torah study and for mitzvahs. He gives the case of mayim, and he says instead of getting too involved in the pleasures of the world, we can get involved in simcha, in being happy with our portion. In each one of these four yesodos, we have a tremendous potential for good, but if we misuse them, then it becomes a source of evil. In this context, we begin to appreciate what a karban is all about. The karban is meant to be a tikkun, to fix up the sins that we have committed with the four yesodos, Esh, Ruach, Mayim, and Ofar. And the Zohar says the following. You'll see a Hebrew translation of the Zohar smack in the middle of the middle column on page 2. Kasher pogem adam bi'arba yesodos shelo. If a person misuses these four yesodos, pogem benafsho, he has a detrimental effect on his very soul, his spirit. And that's why the Torah says at the beginning of the parasha of the Karban, it says asher chata al nefesh. That's with regard to a nazir who drinks wine. In any event, he sins against his nefesh. And at that point, he splits, as we said before, between the Esh and the Mayim and the Ruach and the Ofar. And those wedges are pagams, they blemish his soul. And what happens is, as a result, the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, he calls it Samoil, the Satan, has a certain power over him. Lachain, therefore, the next paragraph, Tzarch Lavi Karban. What does the Karban accomplish? The Karban itself has within it representation of the Arba Yesodos, which were, as we said before, separated one from the other. And now, through the act of bringing a Karban, he's being Makari of the Yesodos, Zeklapeze, he's bringing them back into a certain unity. And immediately, instead of the Satan having control of man's nefesh, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself who's Shoreh Shechina on the nefesh. V'im eino boreach oz eish HaKarban sorefes oso. There's the fire of the Karban. and therefore the carbon has to go up in smoke, and that's Yisoda Eish. And then the man brings the carbon and he recites Vidui, I'm on the left column now, and therefore he does a tikkun on the Yisoda of Ruach, which we said is the speech. Then as far as Mayim is concerned, we have Melach. The Torah commands us to bring Melach, salt, on each one of our karbonos, and that's called the Bris Melach. And of course the Melach is in the water. We have also on Sukkot the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim Al Gabi Mizbeach. And finally we get to the Yisod of Ofar, because the Mizbeach itself is made of Adama of Ofar. So now what we have is, in the act of Karbon, an integration of all these four elements. And now we're going to study another element in the number of four. When you designate an animal for the Mizbeach, you have to wait 4 days. And Rav Levi Yitzchak Mibar Ditchva, the Kedush Salevi, claims that why is there a bikur? Bikur means to make sure that it's under supervision and nothing happens to the animal, it doesn't get blemished, for 4 days before we bring it and we shecht it for the Mizbeach. He says the following. This is the last paragraph on page 2. V'hine mishum hachi tziva kodesh baruch hu lit'on bikur l'karbon. That you require a bikur to check out the karbon. Ki kishe hekrivu ha-karbon yitzvichu lachshav sha-karbon yechelef atzma. The karbon is meant to be, this is a famous Ramban in his commentary on at the beginning of Vayikra, a replacement of himself. Ki luhu atzmo hikriv atzmo. He really deserves to die. Vihine yesh dalid yisodos bebehema. An animal has these four yisodos. V'lachein b'chol yom v'yom, on each of these 4 days, he has to do a bikur. And he says, lahotzi oso miyisod, we're on page 3 now, ha-behema, ad-she-yetze miyisod ha-behema, k'dei she-yachoshev ke-odem atzma. So somehow there's some sort of transmission or transformation of the behema taking over the four yisodos of man. And now, instead of man going up on the mizbeach, the behema goes up on the mizbeach. And now we begin to understand and appreciate why the Arizal would eat on a table that had four legs to it, which parallels the table in the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, in our day, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. All we have is Shulchano Shel Adam. And the Shulchano Shel Adam, the Gemara says, is Mechaper, like the Mizbeach itself. So Kol's Mancha Beis HaMikdash Kai Mizbeach Mechaper Al Yisrael. Now that we don't have the Mizbeach, Shulchano Shel Adam is Mechaper, because the carbon is Mechaper on the Mizbeach because of the Dal Yisodos. So the Shulchan has to be made up of four legs, which now represent the four Yisodos, and those are the four essential elements that make a man that need to be fixed up. And by rectifying them, we achieve Kapara. Now let's get back to the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim. V'eila Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lifneim. So Rabbi Akiva darshins, don't think, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, that you can just teach the people once, twice, thrice. No. What you have to do is create a Shulchan Aruch. And what does that mean? They have to understand the reasoning behind the mitzvahs, the logic that underlies each one of the mitzvahs. Perhaps we could suggest that although you and I would have said maybe the highest level of service of Hashem is chukim, where we don't understand the mandate of God, but God commanded us. But there's something unique about the mishpatim. Why? Because in the case of mishpatim, we can really achieve the purpose of the mitzvah to create a tikkun, to sanctify all the parts that make up our very essential spiritual whole, being the Eish, Ruach, Mayim, and Ofar. How do we do so? We analyze each of the mitzvahs and try to understand their reasoning. And when we comprehend the reasoning that underlies each of these mishpatim again, then we know which of the four yesodos the mitzvah is going to work on, so to speak. Now, I'm going to add my own little footnote here. I'm not sure if what I'm saying is correct. But if a person knows where he's deficient in terms of the four yesodos, you know, is he missing because he's too much of a baltaiva? Is he lacking because he uses his speech improperly? Is he thinking too highly of himself? Is he bloated about himself? Whatever he knows about himself, and he analyzes his own personality, he can come to a conclusion as to where in the Dalet Yesodos he needs a tikkun. And if he analyzes the mitzvos, again, I'll read to you his language, he writes, Yisbonin Adam v'taymei mitzvos, and then maybe he can get to the Shulchan Aruch. And what's the Shulchan Aruch? It's the four legs of the four Yesodos. So he can begin to understand which of the Yesodos he needs to do a tikkun on, and through the mitzvah, he'll achieve that tikkun.
But in other words, each mitzvah has within it all four elements. It's not like this mitzvah has this element and that mitzvah has that element. It sounds like, of course, that each mitzvah has all
four. So what does he mean when he says, that the language here, and I'm not sure, I think it's a little bit unclear. He says the following: Yisponein Oda V'tamei Amitzvus Kadei Sheyaskil Lahavin Eza Mina Yisodos. Which one of the Yisodos who Tzarech Letakein Al Yedei Mitzvus Zu U'mitam Zet Tziva Kadosh Baruch LeMoshe Sheilamed Es Yisrael Tamei Amitzvus.
Each mitzvah you have to concentrate on. And each person has to concentrate on a different element of that mitzvah.
That's what I think. That's what I think he's saying. And if he understands the elements of the mitzvah, if he can break down the purpose of the mitzvah and underlies the mitzvah, then I think he could be mitaken his own yesod. So I'm just suggesting that maybe this is a kind of Musar methodology in which if man knows himself and he knows the mitzvahs, he can make some sort of a Hata'ama, you know, that the mitzvah will fit in the way he needs a tikkun, because he understands the way the mitzvah operates and its basic fundamental elements. He understands the elements of his own neshama and where he needs a tikkun. And the Rambam's language in the end of Hilchas Tmura, he says, as we saw earlier, Royal is boni v'tami mitzkadei l'taken adeos l'shat u'liyasher kol amasim. I mean, the Rambam does seem to indicate that if he understands the mitzvos, then he can do a tikkun, he can improve himself and rectify his deos. The Rambam writes, Afal pi shechukei haTorah gzeros hein, royal is bonein b'hem. The Rambam is saying that there's certain mitzvahs that we can analyze and come up with a theory as to what their reasoning is. Kol ma shatayochol litein botam. To the extent that your human capacity allows you or reaches its maximum capacity to understand them, it's a tamo ta. That the Rambam himself.
Yes, yeah, so he would try to understand the chukim, even though a human can never delve into self hakam.
Right, he can never achieve an ultimate understanding. But I omru chachom rishon shamelach Shlomo haven rov hatamim. And Shlomo Melech was able to achieve that goal. But the Ram writes the ultimate purpose of understanding the Tam is Kedei Lochef Es Yitzro, to overcome his Yitzro, Letaken Deyosav. So it means that somehow through his understanding, his exploration, his study of the Torah and the mitzvahs, and trying to understand the reasoning of the mitzvahs, he's going to ultimately reach the goal of Lochef Es Yitzro. So I guess what's happening now is that we don't have the carbon to accomplish this goal of tikkun hayisodo. So instead we have the mitzvot. So the mitzvot now become the conduit to achieve this tikkun hayisodos. The Ramban in his Pirush al Torah Dvarim also says, Lo nitnu mitzvos el tzarif ben asmizki ma ich pasli l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. What does l'Kadosh Baruch Hu care if I do it this way, I do it that way? But rather, the purpose of the mitzvot is to purify and uplift the people and cleanse them of any midos roes. She'ein toelus b'mitzvos l'Kadosh Baruch bi'atzmo. God doesn't get any benefit from our mitzvahs. Aval toelus ba'odam atzmo. Limnoa mimenu. Somehow through the mitzvahs he's going to be spared or protected from nezek and munara, midah meguna. All these things somehow uplift man. And if we understand the way the mitzvahs operate, then it'll have even more of an impact and more successfully uplift man. He says that mitzvahs have different functions. Certain mitzvahs will come to teach us the right ethical traits and character traits. Hamitzvahs gojos b'minam lezakek es nafshenu. There are some mitzvahs that will purify our nefesh. When we abstain here on the top left from eating certain foods, it's lo tishaktu es nafshel seichem v'behemo ba'of, and so forth and so on. So this concept of arba yisodos, which now need tikkun, and these four yisodos, as we said before, are the prime categories of what could be used for good or the opposite. Now we go back to Reb Chaim Vital, and we speak about the significance of the number four. And the answer is, says Reb Chaim Vital, that all the different midos have their roots in these four. It's almost like avos and toldos. These are the four avos, and then we have toldos. And therefore, royal is bonen b'tami on mitzvahs. We should contemplate the reasoning of the mitzvahs. K'dei lachnia al yidei kiyum ha-mitzvah chelek harash be'echad midalat ha-yisodos. And therefore, we go back to Rabbi Akiva, who says that by teaching the Tamei HaMitzvahs, it sets up the mitzvahs as a Shulchan Aruch. Again, since we said that the Shulchan Aruch represents the Shulchan in the Migdash, and that Shulchan had four raglayim, which correspond to the four Yisodos, then if a person has a Shulchan Aruch, it means he's organizing and orchestrating the four Yisodos in a proper structure, in a proper formation. And he knows how to do that through the study of Tamei HaMitzvahs. And now we can swing back to what we started with, and that was the concept of Gilgul Neshamos. Transmigration, is that what it's called? Did I get that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Transmigration of souls, whatever it's called. But you know what I'm talking about. Oh. So where do we see, where did the Zohar see in this parasha of Ve'ela Mashpatav Ashatosim Lifneim, the concept of transmigration of souls, Gilgul Neshamos? And he quotes here a sefer called the Binas Yisachar from Rabbi Yisachar Ber Bloch. And according to Rabbi Yisachar Ber Bloch, the Zohar is going to teach us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings down man who sins for a Gilgul, meaning to show up a second time around, what is the purpose of man showing up a second time around in a different body? Halo Yitochen, here's the paradox of transmigration of Gilgul Neshama, and I'm in the last four lines on page 3. Shagam the Gilgul, even if he comes down a second time around, Lo Yitochen es Hashem Pagam, who guarantees you that that's going to achieve the goal? But it's only giving man an opportunity to fix himself up. If he does, if he falls into the trap of the Yetzer, and again he disaligns the Yisodos, then he's in worse shape than before his second round. And here on page 4 he says that the root of sin in these Midos Ros, for example, somebody has Gaiva, what's going to happen in his second time around, he's going to be given the exact extreme midah of gaiva. He's going to have a midah of extreme humble or humility. Or for example, somebody who in his first round suffered from kamtzanut. He was stingy, he was tight-fisted, he refused to extend help or financial support for charity and for others. Then he's going to come down in a second round with a midah which is the opposite extreme of pazranut. You know, someone who just throws his money around, he doesn't have any calculation. The challenge of the Gilgul is to try to find an integration between these two polar extremes, what we call the golden mean. K'dei letaken es asher pogma. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings him down in a different body that has a midah fucha, the exact opposite midah that he had in his original life. And now the question is, which way is he going to go? If again he sins, but this time instead of kamtzanut, he spends all his money but pazranut. If he started with gaiva and now he gets to be so depressed and an onov that it's the other extreme, then the entire episode, the entire enterprise was a total failure. How many times will God give you an opportunity? How many opportunities will you get? Now, in baseball, I think you get 3 strikes, right? Now, if you consider the first time that he lived, now he gets, he was not successful. Now he's going to go through a process of Gilgal. And once again, we're going to give him three opportunities. He's going to maximum 3. This is all based on the Zohar, of course, and Kabbalah, that Nefesh HaAdam HaChote BeGilgal Rak Sholosh Parmiv Lo Yoser. We're going to give him another 3 opportunities, 3 shots up at bat to try to achieve the tikkun.
Sure, Shivering in Yichai is a baseball
team. Right. And the Rebbe's for this is a pasuk in Shmos that says "Im Shalosh Elo Yasela," which we're going to read in this Shabbos. The Yotzachidim Ein Kasa. That's it. Shalosh Elo. You're going to have 3 times and 3 possibilities. And now, all told, if you weren't successful, you've lived 4 different times. Again, the number 4 becomes significant here because of the 4 Yesodos. So Rak Gimel Pa'amim Mevi Hakadosh Baruch Hu Sa'odam BeGilgal Al Pshav. And well, the Pama Revius, if he doesn't succeed in the 4th time, which is the 3rd round of Gilgal, Lo Ashivenu, Hashem says they're not going to bring him back again. He's never going to have another opportunity, another shot at bat.
He could live up to 4 times.
Right. And now, according to Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, also one of the great Mekubalim at the time of the Ari, Elam is Galgalim, and now we're up to the middle column here on page 4. Lo Shavu El Hashem B'Shalosh Pa'amim, if they didn't succeed in doing tshuva on these 3 occasions, three reincarnations, then Olo is Galgalu. They will not have a fourth Gilgal, meaning a 5th round, if you know what I mean. He says the following. We want to understand, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu stop at the number 3? And the first answer we can give is what's called Chazaka. Chazaka means if there's a behavior pattern that repeats itself 3 times, like a Shara Muad, he's no Geach, then we assume that that's the nature of the beast, so to speak. And if on 3 occasions, bringing about 3 Gilgulim, he was unsuccessful, then that creates a Chazaka. But we can go even beyond that and give another explanation based on this Binas Yisachar that we spoke about. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu stop the maximum number is Gimel Pa'amim? And the answer is Nitzarif Gam Mashen Nivra B'Pam Rishonu Ba'olam Nimtza Shem Gilgal Gilolam Hayu Ba'olam Ba'dal Pa'amim. If we calculate the 1st round, even before he had the Gilgal, and we add the 3 Gilgulim, we come up with the number 4. V'akavana bazeh, why 4 rounds? K'dei sheyitakim b'chol echad me'am echad midalad yisodos. That maybe he was guilty of each one of these 4 yisodos in the ways that we described before. Eish as far as gaiva, ruach as far as sicha b'teila, mayim as far as taiva, offer as far as what was offer again? I forgot. Sorry, I just forgot what offer was for a second. Let me just...
Lowliness, humility or something?
Oh, it was Atzilus, right? He was very lazy.
Or depression.
Or maybe depressed. So he says we're going to give him 4 rounds, and on each one of these 4 rounds he has an opportunity of being attacking another one of these 4 yesodos. L'mashal. He says, this is the bottom of the middle column, he says, Kishenivra Adam Tchila Bolam, when he first came to the earth, he had a very intense challenge with Eish. And he fell prey. So he was guilty of Gaiva, of Kas, of Kaptanut. You know, he gets angry at people because he thinks so highly of himself, he gets very sensitive. Hareka Shayovi also HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Gilgal Rishon, Yachnis also begufshem is gavra etzel yisoda mayim. Water is the exact opposite. It's antithetical to Eish. So if he's now primarily Mayim, then he will not be tempted with all those kinds of misbehaviors that are typical of Eish. And therefore, Yesh lo tikva, perhaps there's hope that through this Gilgul, he'll be attacking his original Gilgul, where he fell prey and he was overwhelmed by Eish. If you're talking as a sharpogam a gilgul akodem, yizke lalos achrei petirasa lemakom minuchas began eden. If he takes advantage of the opportunity of gilgul, then his neshama will go all the way to Gan Eden. Ulam, however, and this is on the top left column, if you kalkel gam be gilgul arishon, even on the first round of reincarnation, he does a kilkul instead of a tikkun. And he falls prey to the Midos Ros, again in this case because of Mayim, and Mayim, as we said before, is Taiva, represents, you know, coveting people or being jealous of people or having desire, you know, unlimited hedonistic desires for pleasure. Is then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give him a second Gilgul. Now it's his third round on earth, and in this case he's going to give him a very intense Ruach, and Ruach is going to be antithetical to Mayim, because Mayim is a burst of energy and Ruach is something more calm. And there are all sorts of Midos Ros that are Nimshach from Ruach. But if on the other hand he uses Ruach in the right way, that will counter all the deficiencies and the violations of Mayim. Now, if on the second round Tikein, Masha Pogam Begilgulim HaKodmim HaReitov. But if on the other hand he again falls prey and he gets trapped by these Midos Ros which come from Ruach, like for example Lashon Hara, we said Shkarim, he lies, he flatters people, all this kind of fabrication, Ozai, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a Gilgul Shlishi, this is already his fourth round in the world, and now we'll have a Skabrus, he'll have a very powerful Yesod of Ofar. And hopefully, if he'll be mitaking the offer, that'll counter any deficiencies in Ruach. And therefore, if he does succeed in Tikkun, then that's great. He'll have a place in Gan Eden. But if lo Tikkun el Kilkul, now at the end of the day, with these four rounds, he was mekalkel all four Midos, all four Yesodos. Ishuv ein shum toeles. Lahavi also begilgul v'pam revius, meaning a fifth round, because he has now proven himself. He has a great track record. I'm saying that facetiously, in which he was mekalkel all for yisodos. So let's get back to the Zohar. The Zohar says elam mishpatim shatosim lifneihem, and this is a reference to dinim nishmasin, which means that there's going to be a punishment meted out against the neshama if, as Rabbi Kiva told us, Ashatosan Lufnei means that he has to study the Tamei HaMitzvos like a Shulchan Aruch, which means he has the four reglayim and he's ready and he's given the opportunity to fix up the four reglayim, meaning the four yesodos. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says that the purpose of giving him the insights into the mitzvahs is so that he will be able to fix up his four yesodos. And we'll take a look at the last paragraph that ends this maimer. He says, Lachem, Mefaresh Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Ki atoeles bekach, Hi linotzel miseder hagilgulim. In other words, we don't want him to go through the entire seder of all four gilgulim, in which he fails to be metakin. Instead, he's mekalkel the four yesodos. So we give him an opportunity. That's what the Torah is giving us at the beginning of Mishpatim, to successfully avoid the entire Seder Gilgulim. She'im lo etzliach odom letakin esdal yesodos shebo, whom is galgel sholosh pa'amim. Then he's going to really suffer a tremendous punishment, and that's it. He's not going to get even another opportunity. But yesh toelis gedola b'mishpatim shatosim lifneihem, if we understand the Tamei HaMitzvos, because then Kidei shenizke l'taken al yidei ha-mitzvah, says called dal yisodos. So there's a parallel here between studying the Tamei mitzvahs and being able to implement those mitzvahs as a method, as a means to be metaking the four yisodos. Why? Because each of the mitzvahs have a certain element of the four yisodos, and if he understands that element and how it works and how it operates, you know, the only thing that's missing here, which is, that would be a research project for us, that if we understand the four yisodos, then we ourselves should go through all the mishpatim, analyze them, and see how they operate. Let's just take a wild guess if we can. We said that ruach means controlling your speech. So then we begin to understand that the reason why, let's say, the Torah says that you shouldn't get angry is because if you get angry at someone, you might use your speech improperly. But again, there's no Easter in the Torah. Nowhere does it say in the Torah, thou shalt not get angry. So maybe that's not a good example. Let's think of another example. Anybody have any examples? Let's see if we can come up with one.
You try to deny it, say, I need you, you deny it, and you insult the other person whom you stole from it.
So theft, therefore, has elements of ruach in it, let's say, to be controlled the way you speak to someone. Because if you steal from him, then maybe he'll... I don't know, who's gonna misuse his speech if you... The thief or the victim of the thief, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's what I was saying before. If each mitzvah has all four out...
So let me ask you a question. Which mitzvah would be, if you studied the Tamei mitzvah, would be, in, let's say, Mayim, would be a control or a discipline of your taivus?
Lo tachmon,
okay, good. Thou shalt not covet, right? And what about, let's say we spoke about... which one? Okay, let's see. Can we think of any mitzvahs that would specifically be eish, meaning that would lead us to control our gaiva, our haughtiness? I mean, you could speak about... Well, I'm not sure about the mitzvah of tzedakah. Let's say the Torah says that you should be... So which one of the four yisodos, let's say, if I want to be mitaken one of these sodos, which one would stucker,
I would think it would be mayim also.
Also mayim, why is that?
Because if you're a miser, then it's because you're taiva for money.
Ah, I see. You want to control money for yourself. Okay, it's hard for Myriv, but this is a good thought process, you know, to try to see how we can give Tamei HaMitzvahs and understand how they relate to the four.
Yeah, that's what
to the four yisodos.
Each mitzvah has all four elements in there.